free of charge. I won't charge extra for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read three verses with you. Three verses from 2 Peter chapter 2. If you please stand with me while we read. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us now in the next few minutes. Help me to be a help and a blessing to these dear folks this evening. And Lord, impress upon us a truth that we could take from this place that would change us, that would conform us more closely to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word and for its truth. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to speak in your behalf. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, I pray. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be a help. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. The principal character in this passage of Scripture we're looking at tonight is Lot. Now, this passage deals with false teachers and how God is going to judge false teachers. But in these verses, he's talking about the judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's about Lot. I want to talk about Lot for a few minutes this evening. If we go back to Genesis chapter 13, we see Abraham and Lot coming out of Egypt. Now, you remember God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was a very advanced city. There were great libraries in that city. The homes in that city had running water. They had sewer systems in that city. It was very well advanced as a society. But God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees to serve him. And the Bible tells us, as you read in the book of Genesis, Abram left Ur of the Chaldees never to return. Never to return to Ur, and never to return to another city. He left the cities behind, and we see him for the rest of his life dwelling in tents. Abram and Lot left Egypt, and when they came back, God had blessed them so much that their flocks and herds had grown so much they could no longer live together. They had to separate to have enough grazing land for all of their flocks. So Abram told Lot to choose which direction he would like to go, and Abram said, I'll take what's left over. So Lot saw the well-watered plain of Jordan and decided that was a good place to increase his flocks and his riches. And so he chose that as his portion. Abram took what was left. Because Abram was not dependent upon natural resources. He was dependent upon supernatural resources. He's dependent upon God and God alone. So Lot chose the well-watered plain of Jordan, and the Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And as time went on, Lot became more and more familiar with the city of Sodom. He liked what he saw there in terms of convenience and ease of living, and eventually he moves into that city. And now he lives in the city of Sodom. To continue with that history, we know and we see in our text here, judgment's going to come on Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness, because of their sin. And because of that judgment, God removes Lot and his family. But Lot had been there for so long that he had come to be comfortable in the city of Sodom. And so when he was told what would happen, he was hesitant to leave. And so they had to take him by the hand and lead him out of the city. His wife even looked back and wanted to return. Of course, she turned into a pillar of salt. You can take Lot out of Sodom, but you can't take Sodom out of Lot. So what happens next? Well, God instructed Lot to go into the mountain. And Lot said, no, not so. Let me go to this little city. This little city, Zoar. It won't be so bad. And so he did, but he didn't stay long because he found the same thing there he had in Sodom, and he was afraid, and so he left and went to the mountain as God had said. His daughters feared that they would have no children. And so they determined to get their father drunk. Now, where'd they get the wine? Well, they must have brought it with them. I don't know about you, but we don't have any wine in our house. We don't drink it. We don't cook with it. We have no use for it. And as you read it in the Bible, it causes trouble. Wine is a mocker, the Bible says. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So they determine to get daddy drunk, commit incest with him. What happened to the training they received from Abram? Which brings me to my text tonight. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning with verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Lot was declared to be righteous. He was a saved man. On his way to heaven, if you will. Just Lot. And Peter goes on to say, righteous Lot. In verse 8, for that righteous man, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So he's a saved man. Verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. A conversation means their way of living, their lifestyle. Vexed. What does that word vexed mean? All right, let's go a little further. Tormented, tortured. He was tormented by their lifestyle. Another translation of this same verb is to wear down. To wear down. Keep that in mind as we read this passage. When Lot went to Sodom, on his way to Sodom, I believe he had a different set of values than he had when he left Sodom. Those values were eroded. They were worn down by repeated tormenting and torturing by the lifestyle of those who lived in this city. Verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, we know what that was. Turn with me, if you would, just back a couple of books to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 7. We see what that lifestyle was in verse 7 of Jude. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Fornication and going after strange flesh. I believe the primary sins of this city was sexual sin. Bring those two angels, those two men out that we may know them. Remember the story? And Lot had become so perverted that what he offered was his two daughters in the place of those two men. Would it have been wrong to bring those two men forward? Would it be wrong to bring his two daughters forward? One's just as wrong as the other. They're both wrong. But Lot was willing to do it in order to satisfy these men. Verse 8. For that righteous man, now get this, dwelling among them. What was the problem? Dwelling among them. He's living in the wrong place. The most wicked places on earth are in the cities. Abraham chose not to go there or to live there. Why? He wanted to live for God. Lot chose the city. He was more interested in what it had to offer than what God had to offer. And so he vexed his righteous soul from day to day, dwelling among them. Now, I want you to see what it says here. Verse 8. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing. Now, those verbs tell me that he didn't participate in this behavior, but he observed it. He saw it. He watched it. He listened to it, and it vexed his righteous soul. It tormented him. It tortured him. It wore him down. Down to the place where he would offer his daughters. Down to the place where they would get him drunk. Down to the place where they would commit incest with him. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. Now I want to ask you, how could he have prevented seeing and hearing? Don't be there. Amen? Very simple. Was he where God wanted him to be? No. He chose to be there. He vexed his own righteous soul. That's what that says. He did it to himself. Look at that verse. That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot's testimony was destroyed because of where he chose to live. In seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. Now, what I want to talk to you about is, how does that apply to us today? If I'm observing that kind of behavior, if I'm hearing those same kinds of things, what can I expect to happen to me? Can I expect something better? Can I expect something different? No. So then the right thing for me to do is to make sure I am in a place where I don't see those things and I don't hear those things. Amen. That's why the Bible says, wherefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't go where it is. Do we live in a city? Yes. But do I need to go where I can observe that kind of behavior? No. Do I need to listen to that kind of talk? No. But many of us do. For example, the music we listen to. We ought to listen to the right kind of music. What is the right kind of music? That's the kind of music that honors the Lord. If it doesn't honor the Lord, I have no reason to listen to it. Consequently, we don't play rock music at my house. Rock music doesn't glorify God. We don't play country and western at my house for the same reason. You say, preacher, now you're going to meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, what's country and western music about? Drinking? Drugs? Infidelity? Am I right? then should we listen to that? No. Television programs. Be careful what kind of TV you watch. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you go. I can remember I used to coach a little league team. And had a good time doing it in the 60s, early 60s, late 50s. But when my boys came along, I wanted them to play little league ball. And I enrolled them in a league. And the first day we went to the games, all you heard was four-letter words. That first game was their last game. Because we don't go to those places. We don't listen to that kind of talk. Well, preacher, I can hear it and it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You may not recognize it, but it does. Be careful where you go. What you listen to. What you look at. One of the places where it has affected our society more than any other that I've seen is in dress. How people dress. Does God care how we dress? One thing that you notice if you pay attention is there's less and less covered all the time. Have you noticed that? What does God think about that? Well, I know one place he said that women ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. A lady ought to dress how? Modestly. There's not too much modest dress today. You say, preacher, what's modest? You want me to define it for you? I can. Some folks wouldn't like what I had to say. I'll tell you what God did. Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they clothed themselves. You remember that story? What did they clothe themselves with? A fig leaf, a loincloth, if you will. They didn't cover much. God came along and said, why are you naked? They thought they were covered. God said they were naked. So what did God do? He made them some clothes to wear. What kind of clothes did he make? The Bible says coats. Coats of skins. And if you look that word up, and what it meant was, it was a garment that extended from the neck to the ankle. Wouldn't it be a different society today if women dressed that way? Hmm? Boy, it's quiet in here. Huh? But folks, this is one of the main sources of our problems today. Marriages. One out of two marriage ends in failure. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because we dress to attract the attention of the opposite sex. Is that proper dress? Is that a proper motive for dressing? What should be the proper motive for dressing? To please him. How should I please him in my dress? The Bible talks a lot about dress, and I haven't got time to go into that tonight. But it's an interesting study. But God has a lot to say about it. He talks about hair length, how men ought to have short hair and women ought to have long hair. Huh? How to dress. How to please God. That women ought to dress one way and men ought to dress another way. Deuteronomy 22:5. Anybody know what Deuteronomy 22:5 says? Here's what it says. Now I'm quoting. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. So God is saying there that men ought to dress one way, women ought to dress another way. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto God. Brother Gonzalez, did you look that up? Did I quote it? Pretty close? That's what it says. What does it mean? It means exactly what it says. There's not one word in there that's difficult. Very simple, very easy to understand. But you know what we've done? We've adopted the standards of society. Just like Lot did in the city of Sodom, we're doing the same thing. Standards used to be here. This is the way people dressed. But over the course of time, the standard moved over here. Now, God's standard hadn't changed. It's still the same place. But the world standard moved here. You know what the church did? They followed right on over here. Then the world decided, well, we're tired of that. And they moved over here. You know what the church did? Moved right over here, right behind them. And every time the world moves, the church follows right along behind them. This is the standard we ought to go by. And it shouldn't ever change. Lot lost his family. He lost everything he had because he chose not to follow the Lord and the standards he'd been taught as a young man. Abram spent his life living in tents. He says, I'm not going there. I'm going to live by God's standards the best I know how, the best I can. And God blessed him. And God will bless us if we do that. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what did Lot do? Went right back in, if you will, through his daughters. They didn't force him to get drunk. He chose to. All I'm trying to say tonight is, folks, we have a book and we ought to live by it. What the world does, that's let them do what they do. But it's not going to affect what I do. Because I'm not going to watch them. I'm not going to observe them. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to this. I say this all the time when I'm out soul winning. I say there's two voices in the world. Only two. One whispers in this ear and one whispers in this ear. Now, the one whispering in this ear always tells the truth and never tells a lie. You know who that is? It's God, who cannot lie. He whispers to me in this ear. Every now and then, the old devil, he whispers to me in this ear. Does he do that to you? Yeah, I know he does. But the old devil never tells the truth. He is a liar and the father of the lie. He never tells the truth. So I've got one voice over here telling me the truth all the time, and one voice over here never telling me the truth, but always telling me a lie. And I have to decide which voice I'm going to listen to. Is that a tough decision? Shouldn't be, should it? And it shouldn't be difficult to determine which voice you're hearing. I'm glad we have a Bible, because this is how we can discern the difference, is through this book. As David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Well, I've gone over my time. I didn't get finished with what I wanted to say, but we got started. I hope I've been a help tonight. Let's pray.